All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Welcome to the Box Score Breakdown Show, a HoopBall presentation. This episode is brought to you by Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee Company. Taste the Kona difference. Get some delicious coffee. Head over to HawaiianIsles.com. You can also find their coffee at Amazon. My name is Adrian Benjamins, and I'm joined, as usual, on Sunday evening by Captain Kurt Beach. Kurt, how are you doing, brother?
Adrian, I'm living the dream, my good man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. We got a really exciting slate of games in front of us. And, you know, you and I, we could just talk forever. So I can't think of any, you know, usually before we start recording the show, we kind of like, hey, is there anything important we need to touch on other than the box score? Is there anything newsworthy that you think we need to hit up?
The only thing that I don't know has been touched on, because I think it happened Friday, would be the Fizdale firing. I was keeping a really close eye on the New York Knicks, really seeing what would happen. And the new guy, I think his name's Mike Miller, I noticed he didn't really change much. Still started Taj Gibson. I don't know if that's what he's been told to do, but looking for some changes there to see what will happen with the point guard situation, see if Mitchell Robinson has new life. I would still be trying to – you might be able to buy low on him. I would still be doing that because I think he's ready to take off. Really, that's the main thing for me in terms of, I guess, news, just watching the Knicks very closely these next couple days.
Man, I feel like every night that you and I are – every Sunday that you and I have the Knicks on slate, I feel like we just constantly bashing them and what a dumpster fire they are. So if you have any Knicks on your roster, I mean, you got to be hoping and praying that this can only be a good thing, right? I mean, it can't get any worse, right, Kurt?
Right. And the other guy, I would try to sell high on Marcus Morris. I think they promised him a bunch of shots, so maybe he doesn't get too much of a dip, but I expect some regression there too.
And you know, even though they didn't start Mitchell Robinson, I think he had a good game. I think it was either last night or Friday night. I think he had a pretty good game. So if you have Mitchell Robinson, you gotta just be really, you gotta be really hopeful that this can only be a good thing for him. And I think it will be. I think, you know, any Knicks that you have, this could only be a good thing. So
I think so too.
All right, Kurt, let's jump into the box scores. I think the first game of the day was the Denver Nuggets and the Brooklyn Nets. This one was a really close game. The Nets getting the victory 105-102. I'm going to start on the Nuggets side first. And, Kurt, it's looking like that buy low window on Jokic is closing, man. It had a big 30-point game. I don't know if that was Friday. I think it was Friday. And now coming in hot in this one with 24 points, 6 assists, 11 rebounds. You know, if you drafted Jokic, you got to be pretty disappointing. You know, you likely took him in the first 6 picks overall. So definitely not returning anywhere near that value. But the last few games have been have definitely been better. So man, maybe if you were trying to buy low on him, it looks like that might be over. Really good game for him. 2 threes, shot 10 of 21, perfect 2 of 2 from the line. Jamal Murray doing his thing, 21 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 threes. He shot 4 of 4 from the line, 7 of 17 from the field. Gary Harris, man, this guy's been, you know, he had a couple good games earlier in the week, but for the most part, disappointing. Only 9 points, a block, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 threes, on 3 of 10 shooting. I thought he'd be much better, but it's just not happening for him. Will Barton, you know, this wasn't a good game. 9 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 threes on 3 of 6 shooting, but I think he'll be just fine. Paul Millsap as well, only 9 points, 1 assist, 4 boards, 1 3 on 3 of 8 shooting. I think he'll be much better than this, though. Hang tight with Millsap. Grant got hot off the bench, man. He was feeling it from deep. 5 of 7 from downtown for 15 points. Gave you a steal and a block as well. 2 rebounds. You know, I'm got him rostered in some deep leagues, like I'm talking 16 team or deeper. But I'll tell you what, man, if Millsap ever went down, I think Jeremy Grant would get just insane boost. So you know, I kind of like that in deep leagues he's viable. And also he's got like a double handcuff where if like Jokic or Millsap went down, I think it would really open things up for Grant. You know, other than that, really, I feel like I'm a broken record that you just, it's those main guys on this Nuggets team. They're so deep. Their starters do all the heavy lifting that you really don't trust much of these other guys. Kurt, what do you think of the Nuggets?
I think, like you said, Adrian, you nailed it. Basically, usual suspects here. And the only thing I'll just echo real quick is Nikola Jokic. That's 2 really strong games in a row. He was shooting a lot more these last 2 games. So I don't know if the coach said, you know, you're going to shoot it 20 times a game and let's see what happens. They really want to get him going. I watched the first half of this game, and he didn't really look great. His shot's kind of weird. It's just like it doesn't look like he's got touch for a big guy. We know he does, but he just doesn't look good out there. He had some really silly turnovers. So I'm kind of surprised he ended with that stat line. He didn't look great, but he's not going to stay down in the third round range all season. I think he's 35 on the season. So his owners are probably stoked about the last 2 games, but maybe they're still a little uneasy there on whether he can keep it up. So the buy low window is definitely closing, but at this point you can probably still get him at a discount. I would try to do that because I think he's ready to take off. I don't see him really hitting that first round value, but he'll definitely be a lot better than where he is now.
Yeah, for sure. What went down on the Brooklyn side of this game?
Well, sir, Kyrie Irving continues to sit. I think we heard maybe another week or two. And honestly, I think the Nets are better without him. I think I heard that they were 4-7 with Irving, and I don't know what the record. I know it's been solid. It's been, I don't know, maybe 9-2. It's been really good without Irving, and they might be better without him. You know, we hear a lot that he's kind of a toxic player to play with, and in his absence, Dinwiddie's just been going beast mode. 24-8 tonight. Where was he? I think. Give me just 1 second here. Let me say, in the last 30 days, average, Dinwiddie is number 23 on the season. So he's just been killing it. You can try to sell high, but you're probably not getting a second rounder back. Everyone knows Irving is due to return. You probably just ride this out unless you can get like a surefire third, fourth rounder. Maybe do that. If he's ever the go-to guy in a ball club like he is right now for the Nets, expect big things from him. The rest of the starters, Torian Prince, 9-11-4 with 1 steal, 1 block, 1 3. Missed 10 shots, so that's a bummer, but he didn't turn it over as much as he normally does. Jarrett Allen, I feel like, is on fire lately. 19-11, played 30 minutes. He's clearly the center to own here. Joe Harris, a little quieter tonight, but still had 13-4-3 with 2 triples. DeAndre Jordan off the bench. He's actually surprising to me. He's in the top 100 on 9-cat. But he's just so quiet. I think you can probably do better, which is weird to say about a top 100 guy. The other guy here would be Garrett Temple, who's starting. He had 15-6-3 with 1 steal, 3 threes. Of anyone, he's probably the one that moves the fantasy needle the most for me here. And if he's available, with Irving being out a couple, maybe a week or two more, maybe longer, and with who else are they missing here? Caris LeVert. I think Garrett Temple is somebody that you could pick up. He's currently, I want to say, 117. No, 141 on the season in the last 30 days. Basically a three and D kind of streamer, but I think he's a pickup at this point. What's your take on these guys, Adrian?
Love your take on Garrett Temple. I think he's kind of knocking or already came through the door on standard leagues. He's been pretty good lately, and so make sure Garrett Temple's not sitting on your wire if you need some help. And man, I gotta say, I'm pretty disappointed I wasn't higher on Jared Allen. I was just really scared that DeAndre Jordan was gonna ruin his value and kind of cancel him out, but Jared Allen's been pretty solid, and I wish I was higher on him. But anyways, you pretty much nailed everything else. I'm going to jump over to the next game, the Atlanta Hawks versus the Charlotte Hornets. The Hawks getting the victory, 122-107. I'm going to look in on the Atlanta side of this game. I'm going to start with Trae Young, 30 points, 9 assists, 6 boards, had 4 threes, shot 9 of 20, so shooting, you know, wasn't super great, but I mean, it's pretty decent. 8 of 8 from the line. It's a pretty good game from him. Parker stepped up in this one. 19 points, 2 blocks and a steal, 1 assist and 7 rebounds, 2 threes on 7 of 12 shooting, 3 of 4 from the line. Kevin Huerter, you know, they're ramping up his minutes. I think they got him on a 25-minute limit. I think, they're being very cautious with him, but make sure Kevin Huerter's not sitting out there, because I think once he's up to starter-type minutes, you know, it took him a while to get going at the beginning of the season. Really started slow, but he's finally started to roll after a couple good games and then got hurt. So let's see. I think eventually he's going to start rolling again and put up some nice value. I picked up Damon Jones in a few deep, deep leagues. I'm talking 16-team and deeper, and he's strung together a couple good ones, but tonight, likely a lot of foul trouble here tonight. 5 fouls in just 21 minutes, so we only had 2 points. Still gave you a steal and 3 blocks, 1 assist, 8 rebounds. I think this guy's an okay add in deeper leagues. He's starting. He's before this game, he put up 2 solid games in a row, so you know, maybe if he didn't have foul trouble, his line would have been better. DeAndre Hunter came off the bench, 10 points, 1 steal, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. I think we see Hunter maybe take a hit now that Herter's back. Also, when John Collins joins this starting lineup too, that could hurt Hunter quite a bit. But, you know, I still think Hunter should be owned and should still start. You know, this Atlanta Hawks team, they're not really playing for the playoffs or for a title, so they should be looking to develop their young guys, guys like Reddish and Herter and Collins and Young and Hunter. So, let's see, what else? Len had a nice game in 19 minutes. He had a big double-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds, an assist, a steal, a block, but I definitely don't trust, I don't trust Alex Len, and especially if he's going to get 19 minutes on most nights. I think that'll be pretty pretty empty there. Kurt, anything I missed? What do you think of the Hawks?
Jabari Parker, he had a few down games, but this one was better. I would still try to move him before John Collins comes back, because even if he keeps starting, which maybe he will, maybe he won't, but he'll definitely take a hit. That value is going to come down. And that Cam Reddish stuff, we saw him get picked up after his last game where he went big. Big minutes in the last two games, but we can't trust him yet. So I'm not interested there at all. Maybe late in the season. On the Hornets side, a popular drop candidate in recent weeks has been PJ Washington. I was advising against that because it didn't show up in the box score as much. He was playing limited minutes, 15, 16, 18 minutes in a lot of games. So he had about a seven-game run where he was not good and didn't play a lot of minutes, so a lot of people were jumping ship. But he was getting two fouls and getting pulled for a while, three fouls, getting pulled again. So even though if you look in the box score, you might not see 5-6, 5-6 for his fouls, but fouls were definitely an issue for him. But this Charlotte team is so bad, and he's one of the clear-cut starters here. There's really only six guys with fantasy value on this team, and he's one of them. I would hold on tight with him tonight. 20 and 8, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 2 threes, and a nice 12 of 13 from the free throw line. He is currently number 118 on the season, which isn't fantastic. That's 9 cap, by the way, but definitely worth holding. I'm keeping him anywhere I have him. Miles Bridges has been quiet so far this year, but he had 20 points, 6 boards, a steal, and 3 threes. He's coming around, played 38 minutes. Hold on there if you have him. Maybe buy low. Terry Rozier, off shooting night, 3 of 13 from the field. He had 8, 5, and 4 with 1 steal. Devontae Graham, who's been one of the pickups of the year so far, 12, 6, and 8, 2 steals, 2 threes. Also an off shooting night, 4 of 17. So him and Rozier combined for a ugly 7 of 30 from the field. Bismack Biyombo, he's continuing to start. He only played 15 minutes without foul trouble, had 11 points, 4 boards, no blocks. I streamed him in a spot this week for blocks with the 4-game week. It didn't pan out super great. Going to be dropping him later tonight. Cody Zeller came off the bench for 21 minutes, 11, 6, and 2 with 2 steals, only played 21 minutes. And we've heard that they're going to, I don't know if Biyombo keeps starting, but the center rotation seems pretty fluid, and they kind of go with a matchup-dependent lineup here. So I don't think either of them are great 12-team guys. Zeller, a 14-teamer for sure, and in standard leagues, he's going to probably be picked up and dropped a lot this year if this continues. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist played 23 minutes, 7, 3, and 2, 1 block, 1 3. I'm not doing anything on that department. Nick Batum, unless I'm missing an injury, was a DMP CD tonight. Shouldn't be owned in anywhere outside of deep leagues. Malik Monk, 9 points in 17 minutes. Maybe a deep league guy, but nothing in standard or 14-teamers. Adrian, what's your take on these Hornets?
I just want to mention, and I apologize if you mentioned it and I missed it, but I just want to mention, I think PJ Washington left this game in the fourth quarter with an ankle injury. Okay. So it looks like it could be a right ankle sprain. Left the game, didn't return. I mean, he had already played a nice game, and I don't know, maybe they're just being safe. The Hornets do play, they do have a back-to-back Tuesday, Wednesday. So curious, you know, if maybe he misses those two games, but I wouldn't expect it to be anything serious. Just looks like an ankle sprain, but possible he misses the next few games. So just wanted to note that. Devontae Graham, man, maybe if I had to vote for pick waiver wire pickup of the season so far at this point, he might be my vote for the. I guess you can also maybe throw Rashawn Holmes in that mix as well, but Devontae Graham would be right up there at the top. And Kurt, I drafted Miles Bridges in like every league I'm in. I thought this guy was just going to go crazy. I thought he was going to be insane, and I've been really disappointed with Miles Bridges. And coming into this game, I think he's had some really low scoring games where, you know, he gives you like 8 or 9 points. So I'm pretty happy that he scored 20 tonight, and I really hope he can get going here, because I bought a lot of stock in Miles Bridges on draft day. Okay, that's all I got. Let's keep it going. Next game up, the Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat. The Heat getting the victory 110-105. This was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. I'm going to check out the Chicago side of this game, and I'll start with Zach LaVine. He's been, you know, after kind of a rough start to the season, he's been turning it on lately. He had 18 points. 2 steals, 3 assists, 6 boards, 1-3. Now, he only shot 5 of 19. He had 7 turnovers, so it wasn't all good tonight. But I am encouraged that he has been playing a lot better lately. And also, man, 41 minutes. He just gets a lot of a tick and a lot of usage on this team. Let's see, who else played good? Lauri Markkanen, another guy who's kind of been turning things around lately. It was really rough with him for a while, so kind of happy to see that he's starting to come around. 22 points, a steal, 2 assists, and 7 boards, 4 threes on 8 of 15 shooting. Carter, only 7 points and 10 rebounds, no blocks, a steal, but he's been pretty good lately. Usage really low in this one, man. Only took 3 shots in 40 minutes. That's like, you know, starting center only taking 3 shots in 40 minutes. Like, you would think by accident, just by grabbing some offensive rebounds and putbacks, you would get way more than 3 shots. So, but he's been playing pretty good, so stick with him. This guy has been a popular ad in a lot of leagues, and Chris Dunn, if he's still available, I think it could be time to move on this guy. Starting, looks like he's got that starting point guard spot locked up. Played 34 big minutes here tonight. Actually fouled out in this one, so maybe he would have even got more than 34 minutes. 16 points, 3 steals, 2 assists. Love the defensive contribution that he provides. 5 rebounds, no threes. That's not really his thing, but tonight shot 6 of 9 from the field, 4 of 5 from the line. Satoransky, this was not a good game. 6 points, 2 assists, 3 rebounds on 2 of 8 shooting, but he's been pretty solid for the most part. I think you got to stick with him, of course. The bench, I don't trust anyone off this bench. That's about it. Kurt, what do you think of the Bulls?
Only thing I got is, like you said, Chris Dunn. He's quietly a really solid pickup, averaging 2 steals on the year, and that's with the wonky rotation happening. So if he's going to start, he's going to be great for steals. He's going to get you assists. Scored 16 tonight. Usually he's not going to score a ton, but I'd rather have him over somebody like a Frank Ntilikina, Dennis Smith, maybe Elfrid Payton. That's a close one between him and Elfrid Payton. The other thing I got is Lauri Markkanen. Man, the last 4 games, he's been, let's see, he was at 22 points tonight, 20, 15, 20, and he had 4 threes in each of the last 4 games. So he's really turning it on. He's number 51, 9 cat, in the last 7 days. So he's really picking it up. Owners are probably stoked to see that. The buy low window is probably closed, but his season rank is still super low. So if you're in a league where people just overvalue actual rankings, you can probably still get him at a discount, because it looks like he's really heating up here.
You know, I want to add real quick, I forgot to mention this game went to overtime. So, you know, LaVine getting over 40 minutes, Carter getting over 40 minutes, Lauri getting 38 minutes, likely seeing these big minute totals due to the overtime.
Yeah, for sure. On the Heat side, Myers Leonard continues to start, just takes minutes from Kelly Olynyk, so bummed about that. Jimmy Butler is having a great year, 23, 6, and 7, 1 steal, 1 block, only 3 of 14 from the field, didn't hit any threes, but 17 of 21 from the free throw line. He is currently number 7 on the season. I did not expect him to be this hot. I thought maybe early second round type value. He's been really hot so far. Bam Adebayo, 21, 13, and 6 with 3 steals, 1 block. Did have 7 turnovers, so that kind of hurts you. But he was 7 of 9 from the free throw line, so not as bad there. Also 7 of 9 from the field. Good line overall for Bam. Kendrick Nunn has been trending down, not getting the shot attempts that he had earlier in the season without Jimmy, but still 18, 3, and 3, 2 3-pointers. I think he's kind of fringe-worthy in standard leagues. I would still be holding, but I think there's going to become a time where he's going to become a lot of teams' most droppable player. Let's see. Duncan Robinson has been a hot pickup for his 3-point shooting. I picked him up in a few places. He had 4 fouls tonight, which may have been what limited him to only 22 minutes. Still had 9 points, 3 threes, 4 boards, and 3 steals. I would hold on to him where I have him. Tyler Hero, he's been kind of sporadic this year. Played 41 minutes, 5 threes, 27 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal. I think he's currently around 150 in standard leagues or standard 9 cap. So hold on to him. Probably better things are in store for him as the season continues and he gets more familiar with the NBA and with the system. Couldn't blame you if you needed to cut somebody. Derek Jones Jr., we like his stat set for his defensive numbers, but it just wasn't there tonight. 26 minutes for 3 and 4, no defensive numbers. Kelly Olynyk had been a hot pickup for a while. He played 25 minutes today, only 3 points, 2 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 3. Currently on the season, he's number 123 in 9-cat. He had been pretty good prior to tonight, but this seems to be the case a lot with Olynyk and Spoelstra, is that his minutes are just kind of up and down. He had that 6-minute game. So still worth owning in standard leagues, but I couldn't blame you if you wanted to cut him for a hot free agent. That's really all I've got here on the Heat. Adrian, did I miss anything?
I just want to say that I've got Bam Adebayo in quite a few leagues, and he was iffy coming into this one. So I get really excited, Kurt, when a guy's like on like the verge of not playing, and then he ends up playing and gives you a nice line. I always feel good about it. So, and the other thing I want to mention is this team's a little messy because other than Butler, Adebayo, maybe Nunn, even though Nunn's been kind of up and down lately, it's really tough to trust any of the other guys here on it. Like on a night-to-night basis, it seems to switch off. Like Kelly Olynyk couldn't give you a nice line, and then the next day it's Duncan Robinson, and then, you know, let's not forget Goran Dragic, Deion Waiters hasn't even entered the fray, Justice Winslow. If these guys get back, it just makes it even more muddy. It just makes it even more cloudy and hazy. So it's a kind of a messy team for fantasy because it's like Jimmy and Bam doing most of the heavy lifting, and other than that, it kind of changes from night to night.
For sure.
Okay, let's jump over to the next one. The Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers getting the victory 110-104. You know, both these teams, really good teams. This could be a preview of a playoff matchup in the Eastern Conference. So really good game, 110-104. Sixers getting the win. I'm going to take a look on the Toronto side of this game. I'm going to start with Kyle Lowry. You got to be pretty excited to get Lowry back if you had him in your IR or you had him on your bench. 26 points, 2 steals, 5 assists, 6 rebounds, 4 threes on 7 of 14 shooting from the field. He was 8 of 9 from the line. Siakam with 16 points, a steal, 2 assists, 7 boards on 7 of 18 shooting, 2 of 3 from the line. OG Anunoby with a very nice game here, a big double-double, 19 points with 10 rebounds. He also gave you 5 defensive stats with the 4 steals, the block, 2 assists, gave you 2 threes. This is a really nice line, actually, with 8 of 14 shooting from the field. Gasol, man, definitely did not have it going in this one. 0 of 6 gave you the goose egg and points. Man, this one is not a good game. 1 block, 3 assists, 4 rebounds. So it's better than nothing. Van Vliet left this game Let me make sure I got this right. Van Vliet, he left this game early. Looks like a knee contusion. Did not return. This is really disappointing. Very concerning for me. Kurt, I got a lot of shares of Van Vliet. And, you know, I got some trade offers that I declined for Van Vliet. So I'm really hoping that this is nothing serious. Knee contusion, let's hope it's nothing. Only 2 points. He only played 12 minutes because he didn't come back in this one. Let's see. If he is going to miss time, Powell might be the pickup. Now, he only had 8 points. Gave you a block, 2 steals, 2 rebounds, 1 3 on 3 of 8 shooting in 23 minutes. Serge Ibaka had a nice game off the bench. 12 points, 3 assists, 7 boards, 2 threes on 5 of 15 shooting. He's definitely viable in a lot of leagues. You know, I know a lot of people in deeper leagues were streaming guys like Terrence Davis. He had 6 points in just 17 minutes. Hollis Jefferson was a popular stream while Lowry was out as well. He had 12 points in 16 minutes. I don't think in standard leagues that we can really look to those guys with Lowry back, unless we hear that Van Vliet's going to miss an extended period of time. But even so, I don't think those guys would be viable in most standard leagues. Kurt, what do you think of the Raptors?
I think Norm Powell, who got a lot of hype, is probably droppable. He had one good game when Lowry returned, but kind of quiet tonight. So I think he's probably a droppable guy for most standard leaguers. Like you said, bummer to hear about that for Fred Van Vliet. He's been scorching hot this year. Number 12 on the season. I'm bummed I don't own him anywhere. But what I kind of like to do is one of my strategies that maybe it's not the best idea, but if he's going to miss some time, what I like to do when guys are going out with injury is test the waters with the manager and send out some buy low offers. Sometimes you can get a guy at a discount if you buy him when they're hurt, and sure, you might not know what you're getting into. Maybe he's going to be out an extended period of time, maybe not, but for me, that's what I like to do when I see somebody's out for a while. I send that buy low offer out there. And OG Anunoby, like you said, is having a great year. I saw some drop questions for him because he doesn't score a lot. He's kind of all over the box score, but number 75 on the season. If you have somebody who's thinking about if they're in the mentality that he's a drop candidate, try to trade for that guy. On the Sixers side, Tobias Harris went big with 26, 6, and 3, 1 block, 4 threes, played 39 minutes. Great game for him. Al Horford, 11, 4, and 5, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Joel Embiid has been dealing with, I believe, a hamstring issue. So he sat out the other day. So his line was pretty lackluster tonight. 8 boards, 6 assists, 10 points, 1 steal, 1 block in only 30 minutes, and also had 7 turnovers. Ben Simmons went for 16, 11, and 9. And frickin' Korkmaz started but didn't do much there. He's an okay 3-point streamer, but there are better ones out there. The guy who I'm probably paying the most attention to here is Matisse Thybulle, and that's only because Josh Richardson has been out with a hamstring issue for the last 5. Again, I would try to buy low on him while he's hurt because he's been having a solid year. But Matisse Thybulle had 20 points, 2 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 5 3-pointers, and he played 32 minutes. So I don't know, it's tough because we don't know how long Jay Rich is going to be out, but we know what Thybulle can do on the defensive end. And if he's going to be scoring a little bit now, hitting 5 of 8 from 3-point land, he's somebody that I have a close eye on, especially if we hear that Jay Rich is going to be out extended time. The other thing that I want to touch on, just real quick, going back to the Raptors, is Kyle Lowry, you know, being back 38 minutes again tonight, which was one of the things that concerned me before he went out with the injury. They're still, he's back now and they're still trucking him out there 38 minutes. I know Fred VanVleet went out and they don't have a whole lot off the bench, but I mean, that's the amount of minutes that usually end up with Lowry in the infirmary ward. So great numbers, but kind of concerning if you're a Lowry owner. Little all over the place here, Adrian, but no, what else you got?
I think that was great for you to mention, and I agree with you. I think the large minute total, like, I think they definitely don't want Kyle Lowry playing close to 40 minutes a night, especially after he's already missed time at the beginning of the year with that thumb injury. I think a lot of this had to do with Van Vliet. With no yeah. Van Vliet there, it's like Lowry had to play some extra time. And I do want to mention, I I believe the Raptors play as soon as tomorrow. I think they're at Chicago. So there's a really good chance that Van Vliet misses that one. And maybe we see Lowry play even more minutes on a back-to-back. I agree with you, Kurt. Lowry is a guy who has extended injury history issues. So you don't want to see this guy playing such big minutes, especially on a back-to-back. Real quick on the Philly side, I just want to say, man, Thybul, this is such a great game for him, and I love that he gives you those defensive stats with the steals and gives you threes. You gotta love a guy like that. I just want to remind the listeners that his floor is also pretty low. You know, you see a line like this, and I mean, I want to snatch him up everywhere after seeing this, but just know he could really give you a low-end line when it's not happening. So, tough to rely on. And, you know, I'm really surprised that Josh Richardson's missed as much time as he has. So I'm thinking Richardson's going to be back very soon, but I don't think that's been made official yet. I don't think we've heard exactly when Richardson plans to return. So go get Thybul, I guess.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's jump over to, I think the next game was the Clippers and the Wizards. And the Clippers getting the victory, 135 to the Wizards, 119. I'm going to look in on the L.A. side of this game. I'll start with Kawhi Leonard, 34 points, 5 assists, 11 boards, 1 steal, 3 threes, shot a very efficient 12 of 18 from the field, 7 of 8 from the line. This is pretty much as good as it gets for Kawhi. This is outstanding. Mo Harkless got some extended run here, 36 minutes for him. He had 11 points, 2 steals, a block, an assist, 6 rebounds with 3 threes. This is a pretty nice game from him, but tough to trust him on most nights with how deep this Clippers team is. Paul George with 27 points, 4 steals, 6 assists, 6 rebounds, 3 threes on 11 and 21 shooting. It's a pretty good game from PG. You know, likely had a little bit of foul trouble too, 5 fouls in the 26 minutes. Pat Beverly with 9 points, 4 assists, 7 boards. A little disappointing to not see him have any steals in this one, but did have 3 threes, shot 3 of 5 from the field. Zubac, you know, starting, but it's really Montrezl Harrell is the guy you want. Zubac with only 7 points versus Harrell's 20 points. Harrell also gave you 5 boards with on 8 of 12 shooting. Lou Williams doing his thing off the bench, 18 points, 6 assists, a rebound, 2 threes on 7 of 17 shooting. Those are your main guys on the Clippers. Every once in a while, you know, some of these other guys could step up, but you definitely don't trust any of these other guys on in standard leagues. Kurt, what do you think of the Clippers?
I think you nailed it, really. It's those top four guys, you know, Kawhi and PG, and then the second tier is Harrell and Lou, and then you get some fringy value out of Pat Bev. But other than that, I'm not interested in any of them.
Yeah, and I want to know, I don't know if this was the Clippers back-to-back or if they play tomorrow, but if they play tomorrow, I think you could definitely count on Kawhi missing that one just due to the load management thing. They play the Pacers tomorrow, so I would count on Kawhi being out of that one. Maybe fire up Paul George in DFS. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, what went down on the Wizards side of this game?
Well, we have Thomas Bryant, who is out 3 weeks. It might be closer to 2 now. Or, I'm sorry, he's going to be reevaluated in that time. So just keep in mind when they say reevaluated, that doesn't mean he's coming back in 3 weeks. That might be they look at it and say, okay, he's going to miss a few more weeks. And a foot injury for a big guy is concerning. So obviously, Mo Wagner, must-own guy. Maybe you could find this, Adrian, if I can't. He only played 18 minutes tonight, which is kind of strange because normally what limits him is foul trouble, and he only had 2 fouls tonight, so I don't know why he only played 18 minutes. Rui Hachimura, he was a guy that wasn't necessarily a must-own in standard leagues, but with Big Tom out, he's a must-own guy just for the sheer amount of time he's going to be on the court. 37 minutes tonight, 17-7, 4 assists. No defensive numbers, but we've come to expect that from him. But if he's going to be out there that amount of minutes, I mean, it's easy to fall into a steal or a block. No turnovers, so that maybe balances out the no defensive numbers. He didn't have any threes, but he was a perfect 7-7 from the free throw line. So hold on to him. He's going to have a good year. I mean, at least while Tom Bryant's out, hold on to him for sure. Ish Smith starting in place of Isaiah Thomas, who I hear is supposed to miss at least a couple more games. That I forgot where I saw that listed. Some places I was saying he was day-to-day, and then somewhere else I saw that he's out for a few more games. And I think he personally said he was out a few more games, I believe. Anyway, Ish Smith might be a streamer in the meantime. 14-5 with 4 assists. No defensive numbers, 5 turnovers, had 2 threes, played 31 minutes. Bradley Beal, 5 of 18 from the field, hurt you there, but helped you at the free throw line, perfect 9-9 for 20 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists. Pedestrian line for Brad Beal. Isaac Bonga started, nothing worth mentioning there. Troy Brown Jr. played 35 minutes off the bench. He's been a fringy kind of guy, 22 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 threes. He's not really a standard league guy. On the season, he's 156. So that puts him, I guess, if you're talking about the top 156 players in standard league, he is just as far down as you can still be in standard league discussion. But 14 and deeper, you should own him. The guy that I was avoiding here because he was the one I was most excited about was Davis Bertans. He's played 28 minutes tonight. He's going to get extra run with the Tom Bryant injury, 25 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal. He took 12 three-pointers, 12, and made 6 of them. On the season, he is number 45 in 9-cat average. I picked him up off the waiver wire in a league, I think, about a week ago. Somebody dropped him, and I was stoked to be able to scoop him up. He has been fantastic. Listen to this count for three-pointers over the last few games, Adrian. For Bertans, 6. 5, 7, 4, 6, 2, 4, 3, 4, 6, 4, 5. Just absolute killer from three-point land. And he does it on good percentages. He's shooting 45.9 from the field, so not bad from a guy who's nailing threes, and 87 from the free throw line. He also doesn't seem to do a lot more than that, but he's getting about 5 boards, and he's getting 0.6 steals, 0.6 blocks, and to balance it out, only 0.7 turnovers. So super stoked about him. What do you think, Adrian? What did I miss here?
You didn't miss anything. Bertans is nice, man. Make sure that he's not sitting on your wire. Kurt, I'm really concerned about Thomas Bryant. And, of course, I got him everywhere in the HoopBall Staff League, my home league. We're talking about a 7-foot center with a stress reaction issue. I mean, that just doesn't sound good. We're hearing weeks, and that's for evaluation. So double-check that Mo Wagner. Bertans is not sitting on your wire. Those guys need to be owned. Kurt, you mentioned a little fishy what Mo Wagner's playing time. I think what happened is Clippers like to go small. I think Wizards kind of matched their small lineup, and it just wasn't a good night for Mo Wagner with the Clippers going small. The Wizards decided to go small as well. So I think that's why we only saw him get the 18 minutes here. So, hey, if somebody's if those guys in your league that they're not really paying attention, if they decide to drop Mo Wagner because they're like, oh man, this guy's only getting 18 minutes, dude, swoop and make sure you pick him up because I think he's going to be really good. One last thing I want to say and then we'll move on. I didn't think Ish Smith would be good because at the beginning of the season when Isaiah Thomas wasn't playing, Ish Smith wasn't doing anything. He's put 3 solid games in a row. The game before this one, he had 15 points, 8 assists. The game before that, he had 19 points with 8 assists. So 3 games in a row with over 14 points. I think Ish Smith needs to be rostered. We know Isaiah Thomas is not the consistency of health, so I think Ish Smith is even viable in standard leagues. Go make sure that guy's rostered as well. One last thing, Rui Hachimura. I feel like he's been a pretty hot the last few. Maybe he is benefiting as well from no Thomas Bryant. So he's another guy. All of a sudden, Kurt, Wizards are feeling a little hot right now. They got some guys that you want to grab. So it's nice. Okay, let's jump over to the next game. The Sacramento Kings taking on the Dallas Mavericks. This was a good game, man. The Kings getting the victory 110 to 106. I'm going to look at the Sacramento side. And, you know, I'm going to start with my favorite player on the Kings, a HoopBall favorite, Rashawn Holmes. You know, not the greatest line tonight. Well, you know, 12-9 is great, but he's just been hot lately. And, you know, on the player rater in nine cat leagues, he's really hot. He's like putting up second round value right now. If you pick this guy up, you got to be so ecstatic. Kurt, I'm not even scared about Marvin Bagley. I think Holmes has been so good. I'm hoping that he's going to start at center next to Bagley. And I'm thinking that Holmes still sees starter type minutes even when Bagley returns. So I'm not worried. A guy that I guess I got to mention tonight, Nemanja Bjelica. Now, this is a guy that I'm worried about with the return of Marvin Bagley looming on the horizon. Now, Bjelica, beautiful game here. 30 points, 4 assists, a steal, a block, 7 boards, 4 threes on 13 of 18 shooting from the field. This is a spectacular game from him, but I don't know, maybe sell high. Because I think he's really going to be the one that gets hurt the most with Marvin Bagley back soon. Harrison Barnes with 13 points, a steal, 5 assists and 7 boards on 6 of 15 shooting. Buddy Hield with a nice game, 26 points, 5 assists, 4 boards, 5 of 6 from downtown, 10 of 15 from the field. Beautiful game from Buddy Hield. Corey Joseph's getting the start, but he's just so low usage. His floor is so low tonight is why. 3 points in 29 minutes. It's just not a guy that I think you can trust. A guy that I do think you can trust, Bogdanović. 10 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. Not the greatest game from him, but I think he'll be much better. I'm not sure how it's going to pan out with him when Bagley comes back. We'll have to wait and see on that one. You know, other than that, not a lot else that I really trust on this roster. Kurt, what do you think of the Sacramento Kings?
I'll just say, like you said, Nemanja Bjelica, the train's about to come to its last stop here. What a monster line from him, and maybe that's his swan song. We hear Marvin Bagley isn't playing, I think, in their next game, which I believe is tomorrow, but should be back after that. I love Rashawn Holmes like you do. All of us hoopballers picked him up everywhere I could. What I am a little worried about Bagley returning, though, I think it will ding Holmes a little bit, as much as I hate to admit it. And the only reason I think that is because having both Holmes and Bagley out there, I know Bagley can hit, chip in a three here and there, but having both those big guys out there and neither one of them being much of a floor spacer. Bjelica took 7 threes tonight and made 3, and we know he's capable of doing that on a nightly basis. So that's why I'm a little concerned. I know everyone says Bjelica is just going to fade and Holmes is going to be fine. I think both of them take a decent ding. So I think Bjelica is more toward the cut line if you're trying to make a preemptive cut. But I think I'd keep holding on based on what he's given us so far. See how the first couple games go with Bagley back before I cut. But Holmes, I think, will take a small ding, which hurts me to say. I hope it's not a lot, and I hope I'm wrong. But I think now is the perfect time to try to sell high because, like you said, he's been putting up, I think he's number 14 on the season in totals and 36 on a per game average. So he's doing amazing. I tried to float him out there for Mitchell Robinson in a couple places, you know, with Mitch Rob trending up, Holmes slightly trending down. It didn't go, but that's something that I think I would do in most leagues if I could. I was surprised to see how similar a lot of their numbers there are, but the thing with Mitch Rob is that he's a difference maker for those blocks. I mean, he can win you that category by himself. So maybe that's something you could look to do. Other than that, just echoing on Bogdanović, we said he was a sell high guy for the last couple weeks. He was number 6 on, I think, if you looked at the last 2 weeks, about a week or 10 days ago. So he's really tailed off since then. If you sold high, congratulations. If you weren't able to do that, I understand. Really, I don't know, Adrian. What do you think about that whole situation again? Do you think I'm...
I know. You know what? I think you're right on. Holmes will definitely see a hit when Bagley comes back, only because Bagley offensively is way more polished than Holmes. Bagley likes to live in the paint as well. So we're going to see likely scoring numbers come down, maybe even some rebounds come down. So Holmes will take a hit. I think what I meant is I'm not concerned is I think Holmes is still going to be on the court. Like, I'm not worried about his minutes going down. And the reason is, Kurt, is because this team doesn't really have a lot as far as rim-protecting bigs. Holmes is like their best option as far as the defensive presence at the rim. Bagley's really not an elite defender. That was one of the biggest knocks on Bagley coming into the real NBA draft a season ago, was that this guy's in college, he wasn't a great defender. So I think Holmes is just their best defensive option. It's going to keep him on the floor. But I do agree with you, Kurt. Holmes is going to see a dip in production just because Bagley, his usage is high. He's going to gobble up some of those boards and whatnot. But for the most part, you know, this is a guy you picked up. Holmes is a guy you picked up off the wire. He's still going to, I think he's still going to be returning like top 40 value, and I'm ecstatic about that. So I love your take, though, on, hey, if, you know, somebody's not really thinking about the Bagley return, he's, you know, not a guy that's in the limelight a lot. I love your take on trying to sell high on Holmes. I mean, you click on the player radar and Holmes is sitting with the second round value. You can likely get a lot for Rashawn Holmes right now. There's not a lot of buzz about Holmes taking a big hit. So, you know, not a lot of casual fantasy players are worried about Rashawn Holmes. So I love your take, Kurt. See, I mean, I love that idea of you trying to get Mitchell Robinson. I think that was a great idea. So
would you do that?
I'll tell you what, if I had blocks, if I was doing okay in blocks, I would do that only because I think Holmes' value overall is going to be better than Mitchell Robinson. Now, if I'm strictly hunting blocks, I think Mitchell Robinson will be superior to Holmes in that block category, which we know a lot of people are desperate. Oh, Kurt, I'm in like three leagues where I am so desperate for blocks that it's like because of that block the scarcity on that block factor, I would have rather have Mitchell Robinson. But again, if I got a team where I got blocks locked up, I would maybe in a just overall value, I would maybe rather have Rashawn Holmes there.
I agree, man. And it was hard when I sent that offer out. I'm looking at their season averages and Holmes looked better in every category, yeah, minus blocks. Oh, do I really want to do this?
I say Holmes tonight, 6 of 8 from the field. I feel like this is every night. He's like, you know, gives you really great field goal percentage, good rebounder. You know, tonight the defensive stats weren't there, but usually he's okay there. So, I mean, the player rater speaks for itself, man. The fact that he's sitting total value so high lets you know that he is really a sneaky good player in fantasy, especially in those category leagues, man. Kurt, what went down on the Dallas side of this game?
Before I jump over to Adrian, can I just go back to them one more time?
Sure, yeah.
you know what's funny? When we're looking at these teams, I usually pull up by team and look at their season-long averages. You know who's number one on 9-cat averages for the Kings? It's Rashawn Holmes, obviously.
Wow.
But what's crazy after that? You know who number two is?
Okay, I'm not looking. I would guess Buddy Hield, I would guess.
I would, too. It's actually Bielitsa at 78.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, and Hield at 83. And his default ranking coming into the season was 36. So he's still a buy-low guy. I would put money on him finishing in the top 50, if not better. Currently at 83. And a lot of that is his field goal percentage at 40% on the field. So buy-low on him.
Wow.
Alrighty. On the Maverick side, we know it's really a two-person show here. Porzingis, he's been quiet and kind of disappointing this year. 13-8 with 1 assist, 1 block, 1 3. Really takes a backseat to Luka. He is currently number 81 on the season. So he's a buy-low guy. Owners are probably disappointed in that regard. His unicorn stats, the threes and the blocks, continue to come down with, I feel like, each passing game. Now he's sitting at 2.0 and 2.0. Luka Doncic, kind of actually a quiet game in his by his standards, 27, 7 and 8, no steals, no blocks, 6 turnovers, 3 threes. He'll be fine. I think he's a top 3, top 5 kind of pick for probably the next decade. We're really looking to see if anyone else can emerge with fantasy value here. The other night, it was Boban Marjanovic. He had, I think, 15 and 16. But we know that Boban needs those minutes. So that was more of an aberration. DMP CD tonight. So forget about that. Dwight Powell had a couple okay games tonight. 6 and 5, 2 assists. I picked him up in a few spots thinking maybe he can get it together. Everyone was kind of hopeful on him being a top 80, top 100 guy coming in the season. Really disappointed and have a couple good games. I think I'm dropping him again. I wouldn't blame you if he's on the wire in almost all of my leagues. Dorian Finney-Smith started, had 13, 8, and 3, 1 steal, 3 threes. I want to see him do that a few more times before I'd consider picking him up. And the other guy who I think is closest to being a pickup here, if he's not already owned in a lot of leagues because of his hot run a couple games ago, Tim Hardaway Jr., he had 29 points and 9 three-pointers. 2 assists, 1 steal, no turnovers. 9 of 12 from three-point land. He took 13 shots total. So 12 of his 13 shots from three-point land. But he's not going to make 75% of them every night. And the thing with Hardaway is that if his shot's going down, his line looks nice from the scoring and threes department. If it's not going down, he completely vanishes because he doesn't do anything else in the supporting stats. 1 rebound, 2 steals, 1 assist. And overall, I was high on him a couple years ago, but he hurts you so much in the field goal percentage, shooting 41% this year, and he's so up and down. So tonight, 9 threes, 29 points. Night before, 1 3, 14 points. Game before that, 1 3, 7 points. 2 threes, 12 points, 0 and 8. He's just all over the map. In the end, it balances out to, gosh, right now he is currently 169, so actually outside most standard league value. But for three-point streamers, he's a good guy to have, considering that he could be the number three option here, but he's very streaky. He's very streaky. Let's see, who else? I'm kind of reaching here, Adrian. Did DeLon Wright not play today? Not that... He's been exciting, but
he's been out with a right abductor injury, and it could he's considered day to day, but I also would not be surprised if he misses more time, like another game or two. And then I just want to add, you know, this Mavericks team kind of reminds me of what I said about the Heat, where you got two guys doing all the heavy lifting, Porzingis and Doncic. And then on night to night, it's like tonight, Finney-Smith and Hardaway played good. Tomorrow, it could be Dwight Powell and Brunson or Barea. It's like so – or hard – it's just so hard on a night-to-night basis other than the top two guys to peg. I mean, Kurt, I see a guy like Finney-Smith. He's got the starting spot locked up, played 35 minutes tonight, had a nice line. It's like I want to go add a guy like this and then – tomorrow can just give you completely nothing. So kind of disappointing that this Mavericks team doesn't pump out more fantasy assets other than Porzingis and Luka Doncic. It's a little disappointing.
For sure.
All right, let's roll to the next game. The Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Portland Trail Blazers. The Thunder getting the victory 108-96. And I'm going to take a look at the Oklahoma side of this game. First, I'm going to start with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 21 points, a steal, 3 assists, 9 rebounds, 2 threes on 5 of 14 shooting. Danilo Gallinari with 12 points, 7 rebounds, 1 3. He shot 4 of 11. Chris Paul has been pretty good this season, 20 points, 3 steals, 2 assists, 2 threes on 7 of 17 shooting. He was 4 of 5 from the line. Steven Adams was really starting to turn things around, but tonight did not have it going. Only 6 points in 28 minutes. He shot 2 of 6 from the field. No defensive stats, 4 assists and 9 rebounds. Nader got the start for, I believe, Terrence Ferguson. And only played 19 minutes, maybe had some foul trouble, had 4 fouls, 7 points. You likely, of course, are not. Hopefully you don't have Nader in a lineup. And off the bench, the two guys that you want to own is Dennis Schroeder and Nerlens Noel. Schroeder with 21 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, 3 threes on 7 of 14 shooting. Noel doubled, 13 points, 12 rebounds, a steal, 2 blocks. You know, even though Noel is coming off the bench, he's been putting up some nice value. Likely owned everywhere, I think in every single, even in some of my shallow leagues, he's been owned for quite some time. Not too much else I can think about. Kurt, what do you think of the Thunder?
Only thing, man, what's crazy to me is a lot of people steer away from CP3 and Danilo because of their injury history. You know, each of them, which is kind of surprising, has yet to miss a game this year. Wow. They both played in all 21 games, which is shocking. The CP3 has been having a great year, number 30 on the season. Danilo, number 39. And he was a preseason rank of 64, 9-cat. So I think Danilo's a bit of a sell high considering he's a couple rounds above where he was drafted in most places. And we don't really know what's going to happen in the future with the Thunder. Does he get traded? Does he get shut down? But he's been having a really good year. So it's hard to sell a guy like that if you're in a league that's more than a casual league, because everyone knows that he's very injury prone and they know the situation there for him's a little murky, but at least try the waters, I would say.
Yeah.
And then a guy who's maybe a buy low, at least if you can think he'll get back to his ADP, which I don't know if he does, is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 55 default rank, 96 currently 9-cat average. So if you think he's getting anywhere closer to that 55 rank, which I'm not sure he does, I think he was a little overhyped coming into the year. I'm not quite sure why. If anything, I thought it was because of the defensive stats, but they're pretty lackluster so far. 1.0 steals on the season and 0.5 blocks. So, I mean, if you think those numbers are coming up, you could probably buy low on him. But anyone who drafted him probably took him so high that they're probably not wanting to give him up. What do you think, Adrian?
Man, can I tell you, I feel so lucky. In my home league, 2 point guards that I lucked out on, I'm going to tell you. So I had like pick 9, so like towards the end of that first round. Coming back around in round 2, I wanted Drew Holiday and Kemba Walker. They both go off the board right before. Plan C for me is Trae Young, and now I would like I literally got offered Drew Holiday for Trae Young and I said no freaking way. Like, and then Kurt, later in that draft, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was a must draft guy. I forget what round it was, but right before my pick I get sniped. Backup plan was Ja Morant, and now I'd rather have Ja. So two spots, Kurt, where I felt like I didn't get the guy I wanted, and now I got the better guy. I feel like I've got the better guy, even though Ja Morant currently out right now, although we're hearing he's close. You know, even though Shai definitely not living up to those expectations, I still think he is a good buy low, because I think he will get better as the season goes on, and if at some point Chris Paul does get moved, I think we could see a major explosion in his output, in his usage, in his numbers. So I love the idea of buying low. Kurt, I know a lot of guys, a lot of my friends that have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they're pretty disappointed in him. So I think I think if you do want to buy low, I think you'd like, because the guys, my friends that I talk to who were so disappointed, they're just so negative about him because just they used such a high draft pick to get him. I think you could definitely buy low on him right now.
Yeah, man. There was one of the industry guys who was hyping him as a third round player. And don't you hate it when there's somebody that you're interested in and people just get the hype train just full steam ahead and you're like, man, I like this guy, but there's no way I'm taking him in the third round. Yeah. Before hearing some of that hype, I'm like sixth round, seventh round. I don't know, maybe that's too low. But like you said, that's awesome when those things work out where the guys that you're targeting get taken and the guy you pick actually has better value. It kind of kind of goes into what Dan talks about sometimes, like you zag when everybody else is zigging, or you zig when they're zagging. You know, let them go for those crazy hype guys that aren't proven. You go with old reliable, and then you are sitting there with maybe the less exciting guy, but the guy that's just popping off. And not that I would consider Trae Young a less exciting guy. Like you said, he's been amazing. I think he'll be a back of the first round type of guy for quite a few years to come, especially in eight cap.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's amazing. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, you know.
Oh, I guess so, man. I'd rather be good, because you know, as a fantasy analyst, you want to feel like you're good. But I gotta admit, man, I got really lucky in those two spots in my home league. Kurt, what went down on the Portland side of this game?
All right, brother. I know you want to hear about Carmelo Anthony. You've been raving about this guy. No, but in all seriousness, tonight, only 4 of 18 from the field, which isn't great. He'll shoot better than that on most nights. 9 points, 8 boards, 3 steals. It's just a little annoying that he feels like at age 35, you know, rolling around in his wheelchair out there, that he's going to have to jack up 18 shots and cost the Blazers a win against Oklahoma City. Not that it was all him. They shot 36% as a team tonight, so just terrible overall. But, dude, you do not need to be taking 18 shots. I was hesitant to pick him up anywhere. He's currently 130 on the season prior to tonight. And, man, that's crazy. His own percentage in Yahoo is 73%. That's just nuts. I feel like there are so many players that are better than him that are around like 50s and 40s. Daniel House is owned in like 45% of leagues. I'd rather have him. Markel Fultz is only owned in like 50% of leagues. I'd rather have him. Just kind of crazy. Crazy how far name value can get you. That being the case, take advantage of that. If you have Melo and people are clearly overvaluing him, the next time he pops off for 20 points, try to sell him. Hassan Whiteside, he was one of my favorite targets mid-round in draft. I think we talked about this, Adrian. I overcommitted on point guards early on. Sometimes I went point guard, point guard, point guard, point guard. And I thought, you know, even if I'm heavy on point guards, I'll at least somebody's going to need these guys, and I'll sell them off later on. Because of that, Hassan Whiteside was one of my favorite targets later on for a double-double guy with blocks. He's been having a nice season. 14-10 tonight. 3 assists, 5 blocks. He only took 8 shots, so if he got a couple more, you're looking at like a 20-10 line with 5 blocks. Just amazing. Melo, give up the ball to Whiteside a little more, please. Whiteside currently number 31 on a per-game average. He's having a great year. Injuries are always a tiny bit concerning. Okay, a decent amount concerning with Whiteside, but he's been having such a good year. I would just hold on. Maybe you can sell high, but I honestly don't know who I would trade for him. Somebody like Miles Turner comes to mind, maybe Rudy Gobert. That's probably going to be shot down in most instances, but he's actually performing better, way better than both of them right now. I don't know. You can give me your take on that in a minute, Adrian. Damian Lillard, 8 of 24 from the field. He's not usually that bad from the field. 2 of 12 from three-point land, so that explains some of the misses. Perfect 8 of 8 from the free throw line. 26 points, 3 boards, 7 assists, 1 steal. Dame's having a good year. He's currently number 8 on the season, which is his default rank in a lot of places, so great for Dame. Kent Bazemore is probably the guy that you want to pay the most attention to here, with Rodney Hood being out for the year with an Achilles tear. Bazemore played 36 minutes. He had 9 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, 1 block, 3 three-pointers. Oddly enough, what he didn't have is any steals, which is one of the main reasons you want Bazemore. If you have somebody to cut, I could see picking him up, because he's usually going to get the defensive numbers. He's going to get you the threes. Don't expect a lot of scoring, but if Melo wants to share the ball at all, Bazemore will probably end up being a standard league guy, so couldn't blame you for picking him up. CJ McCollum, also bad shooting, 8 of 21 from the field. 20 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 threes. He's been all right. Scala BCA off the bench, 0 points, 7 boards, 1 assist. Only played 16 minutes. There was some buzz about him because he had one decent game while Whiteside was out. Probably not somebody you're looking at even in 16-teamers. Anfernee Simons, this guy's fun because he's a rookie, so people want to like him. But all he does is score and hit threes. And tonight he only scored 7 and hit 1 3. 1 steal, 1 block, 3 rebounds. I'm not picking him up anywhere, maybe 16 teamers. That's all I got on these Blazers, Adrian. What did I miss?
You know, Kurt, I love when, right when you started talking about Portland, I was thinking to myself, one thing I want to mention, because it could be a little sneaky under the radar, is Bazemore. I think he's a sneaky pickup. And then I love when you mention it and you kind of just say exactly what I was thinking. You know, didn't have it going here tonight, only shot 3 of 11 for 9 points. But I'm going to tell you, Kurt, I think it's very encouraging that he started, played 36 minutes, and the fact that he even took 11 shots in this game lets you know that, you know, if more of these shots just went down, this could be a much better line. And the reason why we love Bazemore is he's one of these 1-1-1 guys that they talk about, can give you a steal, a block, and a three. And you love any guys that can do that. So I think even in standard leagues, this is a sneaky guy to pick up with Hood. I think Hood's done for the season, and it looks like Bazemore is going to be the guy from what we saw tonight, just the fact that he got all the minutes. So go pick up Bazemore, man. I think he's your guy. To touch on your Whiteside take, man, and I got to eat a little crow on this one, because I didn't believe in Whiteside coming into draft day. I was dead wrong, man. Whiteside is fantastic. He's sitting at a second round value. I'll be honest with you, if nobody wants to trade those guys you talked about for Whiteside, stick with Whiteside, man, because he is just killing it. You know, didn't even shoot it bad from the line tonight. Like, tonight is beautiful. The five blocks, the double-double on good percentages, man, he's been fantastic. And I have no reason to think that this could be is a fluke, because, you know, he's just locked and loaded. So stick with Whiteside. He's been great, man.
Yeah, and what's crazy is everyone's like, he can't get back to that second round value he had a couple of years ago. Mainly his free throw percentage is the only thing that brought him down last year. And free throw percentage or free throw shooting is like a mental thing. And with as much as he was getting jerked around in Miami, it seemed to be a thing with him and Spoelstra. Spoelstra didn't really like him. So mentally, if he's thinking like he's not appreciated on the team, you know, that can explain the free throw misses. He'd been fine for his career. I'm not looking at any stats here, but I think he was around 70% his whole year, so he doesn't kill you there. And I think he's at around 75 this year. Last time I heard, it may have gone down since, but last time I heard in the last week or so, he was averaging a career high. So I wouldn't necessarily call his free throw percentage a fluke either. I think you can keep that going. Adrian, this might sound silly to say, but if it was between him and Miles Turner, who would you go for?
Man.
Maybe
I would rather have Whiteside. I'll be honest with you, Miles Turner, I think, has been a disappointment. Sabonis is just killing Miles Turner right now. Sabonis is just the more aggressive guy. Like, night to night, when you look at the box score, you see Sabonis with these gaudy double-doubles, and you see Miles Turner with like 9 points, 8 boards. I love that Miles Turner is definitely giving you some blocks, which is great, and can give you more threes. So I do understand why Miles Turner, people consider him like the better guy. But man, I'll tell you what, in a side by side, I'll take Whiteside there.
Yeah, Turner's rebounds are, well, they've never been great, but they're definitely down. He's deferring to Sabonis, and like you said, on the nights where his blocks aren't there, his lines look very bad.
Low. Yeah. Yeah, and he's just not a go. Like, Miles Turner is just not a go-getter. And now all of a sudden you put a guy like Sabonis next to him. That guy's a vacuum, man. That guy grabs every board. He's all over the place. And we're definitely seeing Miles Turner take a hit. And Whiteside, like, I feel like there's nobody there in that front court to challenge Whiteside. Whiteside's one of those guys that, like, can flirt with the 2020 game. Like, there's only a few guys in the league, like Clint Capella is one of those guys, and, you know, I throw Whiteside in that category, man.
Yeah, and let me just give you my take on this real quick. Let me know if I'm going into too many tangents here, but I have Whiteside in a lot of places, and I try to sell him, and you know how you can do, like, the chat back and forth with the manager, where the manager will be like, LOL, no way, or how about this or that? All people, when I'm trying to sell him, and I'm not trying to sell him for cheap, don't get me wrong, but when I'm trying to sell him, people say he's going to vanish when Nurkic comes back. He can't play in March. Are you serious? Like, Portland lost again. They're playing their way out of the playoffs. They might already be starting to eliminate themselves from the playoffs. So as the season goes on, what is their incentive to play Nurk? None. He's coming off this gruesome injury. You know, injuries can be pretty bad for big guys, like even linger longer. I'm just kind of pulling this out of nowhere, but I don't really see Nurk coming back before February, March. And if he does, they have no reason. He's not going to jump in there and play 35 minutes a game. I mean, he's going to miss back-to-backs most likely. It might be like a thing we're seeing with Kevon Looney's kind of minute management. You know, he might be out there 10 minutes, miss the next game, 15 minutes, miss the next game. So I don't see that hurting Whiteside. And Whiteside isn't somebody that needs a big amount of minutes. He doesn't need 35, 32 minutes. Honestly, to avoid injury, the perfect Whiteside scenario is probably around 26 to 28 minutes. So they have, gosh, I've had a couple drinks here, Adrian. What is it? 48 minutes in a game. So even if they were to, if Nurk got up to speed and they could split that 50-50, 24 minutes, that's fine for Whiteside. Maybe he takes a small ding, maybe 5-10%. But then they also don't have anybody else in the front court. Scal's not pushing these guys. Zach Collins is out for the foreseeable future, if not the whole season. So, one more tangent here, Adrian. What is your take on Nurk? And if you had Whiteside, are you at all concerned about Nurk's return?
Not at all. And it's pretty much everything you talked about. Why would Portland push Nurkic to come back or give him heavy minutes that he's not ready for when they're completely out of it? The other thing I want to mention as a general rule that I live by is any guy that's coming off of a gruesome, serious injury, Gordon Hayward's injury, Victor Oladipo's injury, Nurkic's injury, I never expect them to be the same for a full year, meaning, you know, I hear a lot about, oh, should I go trade for Oladipo? I'm not expecting us to see the same Victor Oladipo, because I think it's going to take him a full season to be the guy. So I don't think we see the Victor Oladipo we saw last year till next year. The same way we're seeing Gordon Hayward, a big improvement from last year to this year. I think it's just because it takes guys that come off of an injury like that, it takes a long time for these guys to get to 100%. And I agree with you 100%, Kurt. Maybe we see Whiteside take a small hit. And I mean a small hit. This guy's returning second round value. So big deal if he loses half a round of value, or maybe at worst a full round of value. A big deal. So
yes, sir.
I agree with you. And, you know, I'm telling you, if people don't want to trade on your Whiteside offers, hey, if you're sticking with a guy who you drafted nowhere near where he's returning value, just roll with it and enjoy the ride, man.
And Adrian, on the flip side, if you don't own Whiteside and you're in a league with these managers who think he's going to tail off and not be there for the playoffs, if you're in a head-to-head league, buy this guy. Buy him. If they're thinking, yeah, he's great now, This could be one of those fake kind of sell highs where the owner thinks, oh my gosh, this is great, I need to sell him, when really this is what he's going to give you all season.
And you know, I just want to mention too, I'm not a big, like, reality wise, I'm not a big Whiteside fan. I had low expectations for him. He wasn't a guy that I was targeting, drafting anywhere. So I am saying this just because he has just blown me away with his performance and what he's providing, fantasy wise, what he's doing. So he's turned me into a fan. I'm not a big Whiteside guy. I never have been, but I just love what he's doing this year.
Yeah, and it's crazy because sometimes guys who don't look great out there, they just have a way of being those stat magnets that get you stats. Like Nikola Jokic, for example, today, like I said, he looked like, I mean, I only watched the first half, but that was half of his stats. He was at 15 points by then. He looked like trash out there. He looked overweight. He couldn't make a shot. There was one play where he literally turned it over by handing the ball to the other team. Like, he looked like hot garbage, yet turned in this amazing line. So sometimes the eye test can be deceiving. And just because Whiteside doesn't always look like the most motivated player on the court, fantasy-wise, that 15 points, 12 boards, 2.5 blocks per game is amazing. You mentioned one thing, Adrian. Let me go on just a tiny bit of a tangent here. Oladipo, you mentioned how his return's kind of up in the air. I took one of my fabled buy low because they're injured, so to speak, approaches here. I bought him in almost every league. One league, I was able to actually turn, who was it? Goran Dragic.
Oh, nice.
Into, so that yeah. probably won't happen in most leagues. But
I don't mind buying low on Victor Oladipo, especially, like, that's beautiful. But I've seen guys who are just, they're making the trade as if, right from day one when he's back, it's going to be the stud Victor Oladipo, who two seasons ago was like flirting with first round value. I'm telling you guys, when you come off a gruesome injury, it takes time for these guys to come back. So I'm like, my expectations for Oladipo a little low. Now, I'm okay though with trading for him, especially too, I think the Pacers could really use him at the two. Like they're missing him at the two right now. But it's just a general rule that I live by, Kurt. I never expect a guy coming off of a major gruesome injury. And like last year, DeMarcus Cousins proved me wrong. DeMarcus Cousins came back last season and was balling right away. And I was like, wow, I did not expect that. So, you know, it's not 100% true all the time, but I find generally takes a full year. So when these guys come back in the middle of the year the way they do, we normally don't see them the 100% same until the following season. So I don't know, Kurt. Okay.
And what's crazy though, let me just keep going on a tangent here, Adrian. just driving the missus crazy. Oladipo, we thought he was nearing return because he's been doing 5-on-5 for so long. So a lot of people were like, if he's on the wire, which he never should have been on any wires, pick him up, try to sell him. But people were getting stoked because it looked like he was on pace for a December return. Mm-hmm. And then the last update kind of threw some cold water on that, where he said his return is loose as a goose. And it's not about playing this year, I think was his quote. It's about walking for the next 15. So he's very serious about his health. The fact that the Pacers are in a playoff position, I think we'll see him back this year. And he does have that potential to be a difference maker, especially in steals. But then again, that remains to be seen after such a gruesome injury. But with that news, where the hype was mounting with him, with that news, it kind of throws some cold water on that. If you're in a league that has IRs, especially if you're in a league that has two IRs and you have room to accommodate a secondary injury, with that news, I think you can probably, you might be able to steal him away at a cheap price.
I like that idea. And I think he's closer than that, man. Just the fact that he's, you know, practicing with the their G League team and whatnot, that usually means that they're pretty close. So yeah. All right, Kurt, let's jump over to the final game of the evening, the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Timberwolves. I almost said Vikings right there. Oh, my goodness. Minnesota Timberwolves taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. Not too much of a surprise here, man. The Lakers, 20-3. They've just been insane. 142 for the Lakers, 125 for the Timberwolves. I'm going to look in on the Minnesota side. I'm going to start with Karl Anthony Towns, 19 points, 8 assists, a steal, 4 boards, 1-3, 7-16 shooting. Rough matchup with Towns here tonight, getting matched up against the juggernaut Laker front court. Wiggins has been spectacular this year, but tonight, again, rough matchup for Wiggins. 19 points, 3 assists, 2 boards, 1-3 on 8-15 shooting. Rocco, Bob Covington, 16 points, 3 steals, 4 boards on 4 of 8 shooting. Jarrett Culver, their rookie. I'm curious. Right now, this guy's kind of fringe standard league guy. I know he's kind of owned everywhere. I think at some point in the year, he's going to be a reliable option. I think he's going to start really putting it together. I think Minnesota's going to be out of it, and they're just going to go and really look to develop their young core. So Jarrett Culver, 12 points, 4 assists, 2 boards. This is actually a decent usable line here tonight because the shooting wasn't bad. 5 of 6 shooting from the field gave you a 3. Kurt, a sneaky guy, a guy that I'm going to look to pick up in a few leagues. Josh Okogie is starting. This is his second game in a row. 12 points the last game, 18 points here tonight. one assist, four boards in some deeper leagues, like 14 teams and deeper. I think I might pick this guy up where I have some dead weight on my roster. Three threes. I love that he, you know, gave you threes, usually can give you some defensive stats as well. So I think he's a sneaky ad. Teague coming off the bench, 12 points for him. He had a really big game earlier in the week, though. So hang tight with Teague. You know, even though he's coming off the bench, I think he could still be a standard league guy because he could just destroy those second units. And as long as he's getting minutes, you know, tonight, 24, as long as it doesn't dip in the low 20s or high teens, I think Teague should be okay. Not too much else to talk about. What do you think of the Timberwolves?
Main thing, like you said, is Jeff Teague coming off the bench. Lots of people are dropping him. I know some people who own him, and I own him in a few spots because you needed those assists later in drafts. He only got you one tonight, which kind of hurts, and the four turnovers, so bad assist-to-turnover ratio there. And he's supposed to come off the bench for the foreseeable future. But if he's getting 25 to 30 minutes off the bench, beating up on team second units, I expect him to be fine. Like, his assists have been good. His value is in those assists, 6, 7, 8 assists. You can't find that on the wire. So if you drop him, I mean, I really want to know who you're picking up who's getting you more assists than Teague. Maybe an Elfrid Payton type, but that remains to be seen. Hold on to him. You probably won't see him drop because of his last game, which was, gosh, probably one of his best games in the last couple of years. I like your take on Okogie, and I like how you say his name, Okogie. I say it Okogie as well. I hear people say it Okogie, but Okogie just is so much more fun. And I got to admit, he wasn't on my radar. When he was starting prior to tonight, he was, and then he kind of vanished. I wasn't really paying much attention to him. So I like your take on him. I'm going to be keeping a look on him. The other guy who I feel like has been quiet this year is Roko. Most people, at least us hoop bars, love this guy. And some people who are just casual NBA fans don't even know his name because he doesn't score a ton. But his value is in those intangibles, those cash counters, the three three-pointers, the three steals, the block. He is currently on the season. He's Minnesota's second best guy at number 46. So, and I feel like nothing's really been said about him this year. He's really quiet. He was preseason number 41, and he's currently number 46 in 9-cat. So, I don't know. I could be wrong, but just based on the fact that he's not getting a lot of hype, only scoring 12 points a game, but his field goal percentage is up at 46. His free throw percentage is at almost 89. And he's getting you the 2.1 threes, the 1.3 steals, the 0.9 blocks, and that's actually lower than where we've seen it from him. I think even though he's not performing badly by any means, I think you could maybe buy low just because he doesn't score a lot and because his name value isn't there. So I would definitely try to do that. Let me see. Other than that, Wiggins, who's had a great year, he's had a total transformation, kind of like a Brandon Ingram type. He's slowly coming back to earth. I don't think he'll fall a ton, but he's currently number 56 on the season, so he's slowly coming back down, hurt by the free throw percentage at 71. He still has 1.3 blocks, which is amazing. I never saw that coming from Wiggins. If you own him, you probably can't sell him to make much of a profit considering he was drafted a lot of times around 110, 120. But maybe the owner sees this small gradual dip. And I'm all about the buy lows and the sell highs, Adrian. I know you probably are too. I think maybe he's not a buy low because he's performing about 60 spots higher than where he was drafted. But you might be able to get him for cheaper than what he'll finish the year at. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I like that take. I think for sure he would be able to finish in a nice spot. I like that take. Yeah, definitely. Kurt, what went down on the Lakers side of this game?
All right, good sir. Anthony Davis, Sorry, I'm throwing those sirs out there. I do that a lot. Anthony Davis, who's been a little quiet so far this year, and this might sound crazy, as the guy who came into the season ranked number one, he's currently number three in nine cat average, at least prior to tonight. So that sounds crazy for a guy two spots lower than what his default rank was, but he's a bit of a buy low. At least he was before tonight. Tonight might have killed it. 50 points, 7 boards, 6 assists, 4 steals, 1 block, perfect 10 of 10 from the free throw line, 20 of 29 from the field. I'm no mathematician, but that's somewhere near 70%, so pretty nice there. Man, he's having a great year. I'd say a quietly great year, given that he's number 3 non-cat average, and you could maybe get him at a discount. I don't know what your take is on the 2, but if you were to trade Karl Anthony Towns for Davis, that's probably a toss-up. I'm not sure which one I'd rather have. Maybe AD for the defensive numbers, but I feel like Cat has more hype. LeBron James, 32 points, 4 boards, 13 assists, 1 steal. I think he's leading the league in assists. He's having a great year. He's currently number 10 on the season. I thought he was a first-round draft pick this year when a lot of people were putting him in the middle of the second round. I heard some people putting him around pick 25, which I thought was ridiculous. JaVale McGee starting, 6 points, 5 boards, no defensive numbers, only 16 minutes. Danny Green, he's one of those quietly decent guys to own. He does that in the defensive numbers and the threes, 12 and 8 tonight with 1 assist, 2 steals, 4 three-pointers. All of his shots were from three-point land. He's currently number 133 on the season, default rank 132, so pretty crazy how close that is. He's not amazing by any means, but he's kind of like last man on your roster type value. I couldn't blame you for holding on to him. If there's a hot free agent, I also couldn't blame you for cutting him. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has been okay in the last couple games. 9 points, 2 boards, 5 assists, 1-3. We know he can light it up from downtown if he gets the chance, but I'm not interested here. Maybe 14-teamers, but that's even a reach. I'd say maybe 16-teamers you could look to him. Off the bench, the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma. He played 26 minutes, 7 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1-3. You might think he's due to be the third best guy on this team. That'd be completely wrong. He's currently number 300 on the season. On the strengths of a pristine 43% from the field, 69 from the free throw line, and just really not doing a whole lot else. He's way over-owned. He is owned in 43% of loans, 73% of teams, leagues own him. I would much rather have a guy like Terrence Ross, who's only owned in around 50% of leagues. Duncan Robinson is around somewhere 50% of leagues. Yet Kyle Kuzma, I don't know if it's the name brand. Somebody saying he's the future MVP. He's a cut pretty much everywhere for me. Dwight Howard, 6 boards, 8 assists. He's not a standard league guy. Alex Caruso had an okay line off the bench. 16-4-4 with 2 steals, 2 threes, played 30 minutes. And really, Adrian, outside of Davis and James, you're really, really reaching here, and I'm not doing it. I don't think there's anybody who's worth picking up here. What do you think?
I agree with you, Kurt. I feel like it's been the theme for some of these teams here tonight. Just two guys doing the heavy lifting, and then from night to night, a team where, you know, Danny Green had a nice line tonight, but Danny Green could disappear the next one, and then all of a sudden it could be Kuzma has a nice line. Kuzma wasn't great here, but it's just so tough other than the two main guys. So it seems to be the theme for this team and a few other teams. Kurt, other than that, man, you pretty much nailed the Lakers. We know who they are. Really great team, though. And Anthony Davis has been spectacular. LeBron James, too. It is really shocking to hear. I forgot about how low a lot of people had him ranked. So glad that you mentioned that. Kurt, I think that about wraps it up, man. Let's put a bow on this one. Of course, we went long, but, you know, a really busy 8-game slate, and we want to cover everything. We want to go in depth, and so we had to do our thing, man. But Kurt, where could the listeners find you at?
Adrian, listeners can find me at Captain Kanegis on Twitter, CaptainKanegis. You probably won't spell that right on the first time, so just look in the description. It's right there. If you can't spell that right, power to you. Hit us up with your ads, your drops, your trade questions. Get back to you pretty quickly, unless I'm at work. And let us know how we're doing. If you think that we're missing anything, you think we're doing great, you think we're doing terrible, let us know, and we'll try to incorporate as many opinions as we can. Adrian, where can you be found?
I'm at Adrian Benjamins. Hit me up as well. As Kurt just said, we love hearing from you guys. Any questions, any suggestions, we'd love to hear it. Thank you guys so much for listening and supporting the show. Hope you guys are having a great week and a great fantasy season so far. And we will talk to you later.
Have a good one.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.